I wanted to definitely involve Barry in multiple segments here, as our segment normally goes about 20 minutes long, but to have Barry on for two segments to talk about this NFL draft is always a joy. Barry, how are you doing today?
I'm real good. I wanted to be your NFL source that was like live from Las Vegas, but I'm not, so I'm wearing my Caesar's Palace t-shirt. Is that okay?
Hey, yeah, that absolutely works. I should have dressed up like I was one of the – not a showgirl. That would not be what I would do. But I dressed up in like a suit and a nice bow tie and everything like that. And no, but in all seriousness, yeah, they are in Vegas. And from all that I've watched with the – countdown and the interviews and everything, it looks like they've set everything up really well, actually, and it's right down the strip, and as good of a job the NFL could have done to set this thing up.
Yeah, well, you know, it used to be taboo to have anything to do with betting on games, especially the NFL, in their history, like 1954 NFL championship game. They banned two guys because they were caught, you know, betting on their own team to win. And it's just come full circle, and now all these teams are getting associated with gambling houses. The Cleveland Browns this week made an agreement with Bally. So,
oh, really?
For a team to be in Las Vegas, for the draft to be in Las Vegas, I think they just kind of gave up on that and said, "Look, we can make money off of this, so let's go for it." And that's today's NFL.
Yeah, and boy, did they make a whole boatload of money for sure. Well, there's so many different ways that we can look at this draft. Cleveland doesn't have a selection in the first round. So from your perspective, are you writing anything about the first round of the draft, or are you just sitting back and enjoying what you see? Obviously, if the Browns trade up for whatever reason somehow into the first round, you might fall out of your chair. But is there any expectation going into this draft for you, for the first round at least?
No, not at all. In fact, on Tuesday, I did a collaboration article. I get other writers that have to do with the Browns. Either they have Browns Factor chapter sites, or they have fan pages on Facebook. We have three writers and an editor on dogsbynature.com. And so I collaborated with them and sent out emails and put it all together. And I called it, "Who are the Browns going to draft at number 44? Our experts predict," and that's just kind of how we're looking at that, because you don't really know. The only thing that is set in stone is one team knows who they're going to draft in all seven rounds, and that's Jacksonville at round one, pick one. From two down all the way through, nobody knows who they're going to pick when their turn comes up.
Yeah, and that really seems to be the consensus here that, you know, it's been very unpredictable, and there have been draft analysts who have said that, where, look, I'm doing these mock drafts and everything like that, but we really don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's multiple ways that this draft could shake out, and most recently, hearing from Todd McShay of ESPN, that the buzz is no longer Aiden Hutchinson to Jacksonville. It's Trayvon Walker, the edge rusher from Georgia. They apparently like his upside as opposed to his production. If you're looking at it from, obviously you've covered football for a while here, when you're looking at how teams approach things, do you think that some of them look more at upside than production, or do you think that it's more production than it is upside?
Well, a lot of times teams can just fall in love with a guy. When Al Davis was alive, the owner of the Oakland Raiders, he loved guys with speed, and he drafted a lot of guys with speed. Now, some of them played off, like Cliff Branch and Tim Brown. Some of them didn't pay off. So it just depends on that. And it also depends on if you're drafting by need or if you're drafting a best player available. I think for this draft, I think there are three things that I think I will see in the first round. The first is, I think there'll be at least five or six Georgia Bulldogs drafted in the first round. I just think that they've just got too much talent, too much depth, especially on the defense. The second thing I think that's going to happen is that there is no way the Detroit Lions at pick number two, if Jacksonville doesn't take Aiden Hutchinson, there is no way that Detroit is going to pass on him. He grew up he's a Michigan native. He went to Michigan High School. He was a four-star athlete. He went to Michigan. There's just, they need a defensive lineman. They need a pass rusher. There's just no way that they're going to pass on him. And the third thing I think you can expect is I don't think we're going to see a quarterback until two-thirds of the draft have come and gone.
I really think that this is an – it's so interesting when you look at this quarterback situation. You have – a guy in Kenny Pickett, who there are flaws about. I went through, actually, and there were some critiques that were given to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network about all these quarterbacks. And essentially, whoever this person was blasting Kenny Pickett, essentially saying, yeah, he can move around. If there's a guy that you had to have, then Kenny Pickett's the guy, but he has no upside. You look at Malik Willis, and he's got the most upside, but there's some question marks there. He needs some work. Desmond Ridder, you want to like him a little bit more than you do, but he needs some development as well. Matt Corral, he can be all over the place. Sam Howell, he's got the best deep ball, but last year he struggled a little bit when he didn't have the best players around him. If you're going to draft him as the top quarterback in the draft, more likely than not, your team's not going to have too many players around, so can you rely on him to be productive and help elevate a roster? There's questions with all these quarterbacks, Barry.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of these were at the Senior Bowl. Kenny Pickett was at the Senior Bowl. In 3 days of practice that I saw over them, he was very inaccurate. He was okay when they were doing 7-on-7s and you could barely rush and you couldn't touch the quarterback. But once it started getting hot and heavy, he just overthrew. He short-armed a lot. Now, I've seen tape of him during the season, but when you're going against the best cornerbacks and you're going against the best defensive linemen who are rushing, it's a completely different ball game, and it kind of emulates – what the NFL level is going to be like at a rookie level. Now, you still don't have NFL veterans playing, but he was just inaccurate all the time. Malik Willis, that is where he became a star, was at the Senior Bowl. He was projected to be mid to late third round. Now he could be mid to late first round. He showed that he's got legs. My concern with him, he's a good kid. He's well spoken. He has a great attitude, and he's got good mechanics. He'll run like crazy. My question is, the conference that he played in and the opponents he played against, how does that measure up with playing in the SEC or the Big Ten or even the ACC? You're not playing Clemson. You're playing McNeese State this week. Of course he's got, four touchdown passes. But the Senior Bowl was really where he came alive. I really like the North Carolina quarterback. I think he's probably mid-second round. I think he could be a good player. He's steady. He can run the ball too. But Malik Willis will probably be the first quarterback off the board in all likelihood.
Yeah, I've got a trade. I've got Carolina trading back from 6 to 13. I think Houston is sold on Derek Stingley Jr., and then I think they get Ikem Ekwonu, and Houston is – they've got 10 picks in this draft. I think they may be looking to move up and can utilize some of those to get some draft capital. But looking at the defense versus offense side of things, Barry, you see a draft that's very strong at the wide receiver position. You see some running backs who can be effective but aren't going to go until the second round. Offensive line, there are some strong pieces there. You look at the defensive side – you obviously have talked about the Georgia defense. They're going to have a boatload of players taken off, but the corners have a strong high-end part of that position. Is there a better side to this draft? Is it a stronger offensive draft? Is it a stronger defensive draft? Or is it relatively down the middle, but then once you start looking at the particular positions, you see some of that change?
Now, I see two positions that it's going to be very strong, and that is offensive line and wide receiver. There are going to be some edge rushers taking maybe one and two. But then you're not going to see anybody until probably Jermaine Johnson, maybe at 9, 10, 11, maybe 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. But you're not going to see, with the wide receiver class, there's been a lot of speculation of who the best is. A lot of people think it's Drake London, the tall receiver from USC. Others have looked at Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. Then, of course, you've got Jameis Williams from Alabama. The thing about Jameis Williams is, you know, is he going to have to wait a year? If you take him, say, with the Eagles at the 15th pick in the first round, are you going to have him sit for a year? That can work sometimes. The Dallas Cowboys are very famous for taking guys like Smith from Notre Dame when he was hurt and having them sit for a year and then plug and play the second season, but you got to pay them for a year. And then another receiver that I think everybody is looking at is Chris Olave from Ohio State. He really wasn't a factor. He was mid-second round until he ran a 4.2340 at the combine. And a lot of times when you do something that is spectacular, even though he probably ran a 4.23 all year, nobody even noticed it. Nobody even had any inclination. And then you can see Jahan Dotson from Penn State and Trayvon Burks from Arkansas go into the first round. So there you've got possibility of five or six, you know, even Sky Moore from Western Michigan come in at the end there at the end of the first round. So there could be six wide receivers taken in the first round. Now, let's look at the offensive linemen. I think front and center is going to be offensive tackle. And, of course, everybody needs a right tackle. Everybody needs a left tackle. And back in the day, the right tackle was just kind of whoever couldn't play left tackle. But now you've got to have a good right tackle because so many defenses feature their left defensive end as their premier pass rusher. The left tackle, of course, is your blindside guy, but if you've got the lesser of the two defensive ends as your right defensive end and your better one on your left defensive end, well, then you got to have a good right tackle. Of course, Ike Wanu from North Carolina State, he may be the first one as far as a tackle coming off, even ahead of Evan Neal. And the only reason I say because of Evan Neal is there were reports today that he has some kind of injury history or some kind of something going on that may be an issue later on. Well, we all know what happened to Laramie Tunstall way back in the day where he was projected first overall. He ended up going 13th to the Miami Dolphins and has been to four Pro Bowls, and now he's with the Houston Texans and is having a good career. So just because there's something out about a guy doesn't mean necessarily that something's going on. Warren Sapp with drugs, he went, 23rd, 25th in the first round? Why did Emmitt Smith go 21st in the first round? We don't know. Another good offensive lineman that could be in the first round, and it may not be an offensive tackle, but it may be an offensive guard, but Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa, offensive tackle. He's a true right tackle. I love this kid. He is just strong, and he could be a first day, a day one starter. And I think he goes somewhere around 16th, 17th. Maybe the Saints have lost Terron Armstead to free agency this year. And then the last offensive lineman that could come off the board is Kenyon Green, the offensive guard to maybe the, say, 24th to the Cowboys, 25th to the Bills. The Bills always try to build their offensive line. Zion Johnson from Boston College, he'll probably sneak into the first round. He was at senior bowl. He raised eyebrows from day one. Everybody said, who is this offensive guard? And he just completely tore up. The strength of the Senior Bowl was the defensive line, and Zion Johnson was a star above the stars.
Oh, wow. That is definitely the big position to look at, I think, is this offensive line, because you got obviously those top ones. Then there's a little bit of a drop-off, Trevor Penning in there. Have you ever heard anything about Bernard Raymond by chance, or Ryman from Central Michigan? You know, he's interesting because he and Trevor Penning, smaller schools, productive. You look at, I believe it was Eric Fisher from Central Michigan as well, Barry, was selected by the Chiefs number one overall. Not that he didn't have the greatest career, but he's been all right. Is there a little bit of concern when looking at a Trevor Penning or a Bernard Raymond and say, yeah, they're at smaller schools, I don't know if I really can trust that production that they had given the smaller school aspect?
Yeah, and that is a real thing too. The fact that players have played at one school. Now you take like North Dakota State. They put out athletes.
Yeah.
They put out a lot of athletes, and it doesn't mean that they can't be good athletes, but they are. It can't be good professionals because they can. But I remember years and years and years ago, there was an offensive tackle that got drafted in the second round by the New York Giants. And I was writing for a paper called Giants News Weekly. And I interviewed him because offensive tackle was on my list that year. And come to find out, he was drafted in the second round. He was at the Senior Bowl. He drafted by the second round by the Giants. Well, I saw him 3 years later. And the locker room at Dallas, between the Cowboys and the Giants, I had a press pass, and I went in the locker room after the game, and I saw him and said, "Hey, you probably don't remember me," and he didn't. I said, "So I wrote about you in the Senior Bowl," and he said, "Okay," and we talked about that a minute. And I said, "So now that you're an NFL professional and you're playing left tackle at the NFL level and you went to Montana – you know, played in the Mountain West. What is the differences between the pros and college?" He said, "There's two." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, in college, you play 11 games and maybe a bowl game." He said, "That's it. The NFL, you play 4 preseason games, 16 regular season games, and if you're lucky, you go to the playoffs. So you got to have more stamina." He said, "But the biggest difference is while I was at Montana, I had 3 defensive ends that I had trouble with. Everybody else, for 3 years, I just dominated because I was a better athlete than them." Mm. He said, "The NFL, the guy in front of you is better than you. And the guy who's behind him at his backup is better than you." He said, "That's the difference between college and the pros." Mm. So coming from a small or a lesser conference, yes, it has something to do with it, but it depends on what you are as an athlete. Depends on what your heart is, what your work ethic is, and a lot of times it's just luck to get in the right system.
All right, Barry, so getting into a little bit more of the Browns in particular, jumping to the second round, who are some guys, and even if it's, I mean, obviously the Browns bet around the Browns as well. The Saints have picked 49, Browns at 44. Who are you thinking the Browns are going to go after here in the second round? Who are some prospects that you think are going to last all the way to that spot?
Well, two of the needs that are big for the Browns is pass rusher and wide receiver. And, of course, this is a deep draft for wide receivers, so there's going to be some guys. I think that if anybody was to drop out of the first round, it would be Treylon Burks of Arkansas or Jahan Dotson of Penn State. And the only reason I say Burks is because he ran a 4.5540, and I think people were thinking he was a lot faster than that, even though he's a phenomenal athlete and he'll have a phenomenal career. I mean, Jerry Rice did not run a good 40 time. So that I think he could drop out of the first round. Jahan Dotson, it may be, depends on what the quarterbacks do in the first round, and there's always a couple of guys that you think are going to be second rounders that end up being in the first round. So it'll squeeze some players that drop into the second round. And if that happens, general manager Andrew Berry is known that he will trade up to get a guy. He got the Notre Dame linebacker last year, JOK. He went up 4 spots and got him because that was projected to be a first rounder. But there are you take like George Murphy, the wide receiver from Georgia. I think he'd be a really good pick. My favorite is Boye Mafe, the defensive end from Minnesota. He was at the Senior Bowl. He lit it up. He absolutely lit it up. He has pass rushing skills. He's got speed. He runs a 4.51, and he was the MVP of the Senior Bowl. He just kind of – I'd like to see the Browns just kind of get Myles Garrett, somebody, and build that defensive line up. Because you look at what the Bengals did this year. What made them progress and staying in games was their defensive line. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I agree with that 100% and wholeheartedly. One more big question I got for you, Barry, and then we've got to run because the Wahoos are coming up here in just a few minutes. we talk sure. about the quarterbacks. We talk about, you know, the wide receivers, how deep a class it is. Is there one wide receiver or one player? Forget position. Is there one player in particular that you think not enough people are keeping an eye on that maybe drafted tomorrow or even early Saturday who could surprise a lot of folks when it comes down to this upcoming NFL season?
Yeah, I've got a name for you. Okay. Sauce Gardner.
Okay.
I can't tell you how much. I think he's probably the best player in this draft. However, I think he'll end up going, say, seventh to the Giants. He is just a shutdown corner. He is a three-year starter. Do you know that nobody has ever scored a touchdown off of him in his college career?
Yeah, I saw that. His numbers are ridiculous, and how good he's been is absolutely insane. And then you say, well, he didn't play against good competition. I call that a load of crap because he played against Alabama. He played against Georgia. He's played against some really good opposition.
He was a consensus All-American last year, and he was the American Conference's Defensive Player of the Year. He's been named first-team All-American the year before, and he's a three-time first-team All-American Conference. 3 years he's been named first-team in his conference from the University of Cincinnati. I just think, you know, he's only 6'2", and he's 188 pounds coming out of a Chinese buffet. But he started 33 games, so he's very durable. He's got plenty of experience. He started 11 games at freshman and was on the all-freshman thing. And he runs a 4.41 in the 40.
Yeah.
And he plays a cover, and he plays man. He also plays zone. I think you just leave him out there with the best receiver, and I don't think you're going to have an issue. I think he's going to be 3 years from now, we're going to say the best player in this 2022 draft was Sauce Gardner.
And one of the cool things about him, too, that obviously being a corner, you know, you need to have a little bit of swag and some confidence, and he's got all that confidence. He said multiple times that he is the best player in the draft, and it's always good when you got a guy that can believe it and say, yeah, go ahead and put me out on an island. I believe that I'm better than the guy standing right in front of me. Well, Barry, appreciate the time as always. You have an enjoyable weekend. Enjoy the draft, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Enjoy yourself.
All right. Thank you.